What's good, Wizards fans? It's your host, the real Al Oliver, my guy, Brandon Scott. The Wizards lose a close one, 105 to the Miami Heat, to 105 to 113. We're going to break it down. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast. We just want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. So it feels good to be back with you guys. 2 days off. You know, it's the holiday week, but we're back with Wizards basketball. Just want to say happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays to everybody that celebrates the holiday. If you don't, hopefully you guys have the day off and you guys enjoy that. But we're going to break down this Wizards game. So, Brandon, what was the biggest reason that the Wizards lost this game? Do you think it was turnovers, being out-rebounded, three-point shooting, the Miami Heat zone, all the above? What were your thoughts?
All of the above. All of the above. I mean, that first half, they were on the moon with that zone defense. They couldn't penetrate the zone defense. It was just they had their way with our offense. They shut us down. Turnovers were terrible, man. 14 turnovers a night. It was just sloppy basketball. It was a team loss. You know, the bright spots were, you know, Kuz and KP struggled from the 3-point line, but they did contribute. You know, Kuz 33 points, 7 rebounds. So Kuz played well. You know, even when he kind of struggles from behind three, he still had a solid outing, 33 points. Like I said, KP 21 points, 7 rebounds. So they played decent, but, you know, overall, it was just very sloppy. Missing wide open threes. We gave up too many paint points to the Heat. Gafford, foul troubles. You know, KP got in foul trouble. So, you know, Adebayo was able to do whatever he wanted because just foul trouble with our bigs. First half, there's no energy. You know, the first half, it was just we had no energy. The Miami, just they out-hustled us. Three-point defense, again, was a problem. Let's see. Could get stops. That was the biggest. If I'm going to pinpoint one thing, it would be it. We couldn't get stops. We just couldn't. You know, the equivalent would be getting off the field on third downs in football. We just couldn't get the stops, man. You know, they killed us. There was a lot of energy tonight with Miami. You know, Lowry did his thing. Tyler Hero did his thing. And Caleb Martin did whatever he wanted from the 3-point line. So, again, this was a team loss.
Definitely. It took us the whole half to figure out how to play against the zone. And Miami, they just did the same thing a couple days ago when we beat them, when they didn't have Bam, they didn't have Hero, they didn't have Gabe Vincent. They had those guys tonight. And I still think it was a very winnable game. I hate to blame the refs. I just wasn't a big fan of that call where Bam Adebayo slapped Porzingis' arm. And they reversed the call. I thought that was ridiculous, but that's not the reason why we lost the game. I thought they settled too much for threes. Early in the shot clock, Kyle Kuzma, Porzingis. Kyle Kuzma was getting to the basket at will. He had a couple of and-ones down the stretch. They couldn't stop him getting to the basket. They couldn't stop Porzingis when he was posting up, shooting the turnaround jumper as well. Guys were getting to the basket. Will Barton, even when Taj Gibson was in there shooting the mid-range shot. So the mid-range shot was working for them. And they just kept selling for threes. We shot 26% from the three-point line, 10 for 38 from the three-point line. Kuz was pretty darn bad from the three-point line, 2 for 13 from the three-point line. Porzingis was off from the three-point line, 2 for 9. They actually pushed the pace a little bit, brought the ball up. Jordan Goodwin got into the middle of the defense and made a pass to Kyle Kuzma for a dunk. And then we had a nice backdoor cut for Porzingis, and we were beating the zone finally. And they actually got the lead at one point. They cut the lead to 2 or cut Miami's lead to 2 at one point. So it was a very winnable game with 2 minutes left, even 1 minute left, even within 1 minute to go. It was still a winnable game. We were down by, what, almost 20 points at one point. It looked like it was going to get ugly and be a blowout. We were down by 21, but they rallied back. Like you said, turnovers, transition defense, not getting back on defense, not defending the three-point line. Tyler Hero hurt us down the stretch. We just couldn't guard him on the screen and roll with Cody Martin or Caleb Martin. And he was knocking down the three off a pick and pop. But he did make a crazy kind of lucky three off the backboard, which hurt. But like you said, when we needed stops, we just couldn't get them down the stretch. And free throws, we left a lot of points on the board. 11 for 19 from the free throw line, 57%. You're just not going to win a lot of games playing that kind of way. You can't start off slow. Like they did. They started off well, moving the ball, and then Miami was like, hey, we're just going to go back to this zone, and we just look like chickens with our heads cut off. We just don't know how to play against the zone. And they finally figured it out in the second half, and then they came back. But it was they just weren't able to keep that lead when they went up by one or went up by two at that one point. It's a loss you're going to look back on where you're very frustrated, and it was a winnable game without Bill, without Rui, without Monte Morris. Kuzma had 33 points, but he needed to get to the basket, and we just settled for too many threes early in the shot clock down the stretch when we were getting to the basket and it was working.
Yeah, and that continues to be a problem. You know, these quick shots, and KP is the worst for it. Him and Barton, they're quick to shoot those jumpers. They rely too much on jumpers, and you know, Kuz can be bad for that too. But I mean, if you look at his bench, which I think is also an issue, you know, Barton did well tonight, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, excuse me. But other than that, that was it. This bench, I mean, no, let me say this. Taj came in and he was instant offense. It was instant energy. So you could very well see Taj takes minutes away from Gafford, because again tonight, 9 minutes. He got 4 points and he had a good, he had that one slam. I believe it was the first quarter where they dished it to him. But other than that, he got into foul trouble. So he didn't, you know, he was in and out of lineup. And even KP, he got into foul trouble. So that's why Bam was able to stay on the floor and do a lot of damage in the paint, because both our bigs had foul trouble tonight. But again, this bench outside of Barton was very underwhelming. Gafford, again, 9 minutes. You know, he just continues to be the guy from the outside looking in on the rotations with Wes. And it's just, you know, like, you know, we keep saying it, especially with it going to that time of the year for rumors of trades and moves. You can't help to think, you know, Gafford might be on his way out of DC, because it's just you continue to see, you know, 7 to 10 minutes every night. And when he's in, he's just foul issues, the same issues, you know, mistakes. It's just, you know, what can you really expect from Gaff right now? Really, go for the rest of the year. What are the expectations for Gaff? You know, the injuries, you know, when you are playing without Bill and Morris and Rui, so, you know, your scoring is going to take a dip. You know, none of the three are really known for the defense. So, I expected better defense with this team, because, like I said, none of those three guys are known for the defense anyways. But, you know, like we said earlier, it was a team loss. It was just the two guys who did well shot very poorly, but they kept going. You know, they kept – and this is what you want to see from Kuz and KP. They keep us in games. That it was a tale of two different halves. That first half, we had no energy. We just kind of – they blew us out. That's third quarter. We got some energy. We brought the game close. So this was actually a very winnable game. I think that fourth quarter, we made mistakes, and this was a very winnable game. But the good thing is, this is the first of a – two-game homestand for the Heat as far as playing us. So we play him again Friday night. So, you know, will Wes make his adjustments? We'll see.
Definitely. Yeah. Offensive rebound really hurt. The Heat had 14 offensive boards. We only had seven. We got our rebound to 53 to 43. But we're going to talk more about Gaff and maybe the center rotation. But before we do get to that, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Today's episode is also brought to you by Locked On Sports Today. Thanks for making Locked On Wizards your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so what are your thoughts on Taj Gibson getting minutes and Gafford not getting any minutes in the second half at all?
I think it was the right move by Wes. I think Taj came in, instant offense, instant energy, leadership on the floor. It was a much-needed move. I think that was probably the best move he made tonight as far as rotations, because Gafford just ain't it, man. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, but, you know, I'm going to give you a shout-out, man. You know, on Twitter, you said, to this point, he has not progressed. And if you look at him, his progression over – you know, the seasons he's been here, he's the same player. He's just he tends to be very one dimensional. You know, he's a lob threat, and at times he can defend the paint. But when he goes against Bam Adebayo's of the world, he's clearly outmatched. It's just what is I mean, it's what are they going to do with him? You know, because you know, going to an extension, you got to get him playing time, and if not, you got to move him. It's just straight up. You know, what is it, $13 million against cap next year? I mean, you're going to pay $13 million to a guy you barely play? I think he's on his way out. It's just we say it time and time again, man. The NBA is a perimeter-driven league. You know, you've got guys like KP who can step out. But Adebayo can hit him when, if he needs to. Now, is that his forte? Nah. But most bigs now, from your Joel Embiid's to whoever, can shoot the three-point shot. You know, he's a dinosaur, man. That traditional big is just not happening in the NBA anymore. You know, and you saw another traditional big, Deadman tonight. Which you saw how limited he was. You know, outside of the paint, he was non-effective for the Heat. So, you know, I don't see the vision of what they're going to do with Gaff, because 9-10 minutes just ain't going to do. And when he's on the court, he's clearly struggling. You know, the mistakes. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Gaff going towards the deadline. It really is.
I put on Twitter that he's regressed. I mean, he has not really improved since he's gotten here. I mean, He's only as good as his point guard is. He has to get buckets that are, you know, manufactured for him, or easy baskets, lobs, layups, dunks. That's the only way he can really score, getting offensive rebounds. Right now, he kind of got bullied by Bam Adebayo. When he was in there was a bunch of offensive rebounds. Like, we couldn't rebound at all when Gaffer was in there, unfortunately. And Taj Gibson, he's in there. He's rebounding. He's setting screens properly. I don't know what happened with Gortat, or whatever Gortat was teaching Gaffer, but, you know, it just hasn't gone well setting screens. It hasn't gone well rebounding the ball either. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, and I was like, hey, I agree with Wes. You're gonna have to play Taj Gibson. And also, yes, the trade deadline, it will be here before you know it in February. And if Gaffer's not in the rotation, then there's no point of paying him $13 million. If you're not going to utilize his skill set or put a point guard in there that can get to the paint and get easy baskets for him, or if he's that reliant on a point guard to score or be effective, then, you know, $13 million, it's just not cost effective. You're gonna have to move him, and then you'd probably play Taj Gibson, or maybe even Vernon Carey, or another big, or sign another free agent big that's out there that can be useful. Or you're just gonna have to go small ball, because right now, I mean, looking on Twitter too, people are comparing him to JaVale McGee. They both have the same skill set where they're super athletic. They can jump out of the gym, but yes, they make Shaq in the full moments. You know, it just happens with these guys. I think Gafford has a lot of potential, but he hasn't really developed a mid-range shot, no pick and pop action. I just don't see it right now. And when you're not rebounding, because even not just Bam Adebayo, but Nick Richards too. Nick Richards from the Hornets was pushing him around and getting offensive rebounds. So it's other big, almost every night there's a big that's pushing Gafford around. So yeah, he's slowly but surely getting out of the rotation, and it's getting rough for him. So, but on a positive note, I thought Denny showed some signs tonight. He had 12 points, 10 assists, 9 boards. Almost had a triple-double. He had a double-double. He did look confident in the first half, but he had a step-back three and made a floater, made an and-one as well. But on the flip side, he did pass up a lot of – open shots and opportunities where I thought he should have been more aggressive. What were your thoughts on the way he played tonight?
I'm glad you said something, because I was about to say something. Denny, he played well tonight. Like you said, almost got a triple-double. But the one positive thing I got out of this game was I liked seeing him bring the ball up. I thought he played well bringing the ball up. His vision really showed too much. Because, you know, like you said, there was times where he had an open lane. You know, you saw a lack of aggression tonight. You know, he was passing the ball a little too much, but, you know, he's got to take those opportunities to drive lane and draw fouls. And that's really been the only thing we asked for him to work on, was him driving and being more aggressive. But on the flip side, I liked his performance. 12 points, like, you know, like we always say, he's not dependent upon to be a big catalyst on offense. So if you can get 12 to 15 points, that is a blessing. You know, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. So he played well tonight. He played real well tonight. But, you know, you can see also that his confidence is building. He's getting more confident. He really is. You know, again, passing too much. But I think that is also a sign of being very, very you know, he's just the vision shows. So, like I said, he did well tonight. I'm not going to take too much away from Denny, but I think when you have the opportunity to drive, definitely drive, because, you know, you got to get those free throws. And getting on free throws, Lord have mercy. We shot 11 from 19, 57% at the free throw line. And that continues to be an issue. We have to hit free throws. Now, if you take those 8 points we missed at the free throw line, we win this, tie game. You know what I mean? It's that simple, man. You know, those 8 points ties the game. I mean, that's how pivotal free throws are. So we've definitely got to show up free throws. And again, defense. Lord, man. I mean, the defense just – I mean, the perimeter defense, Caleb Martin was cooking us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was hitting shots with people with people's hands in his face, man. I mean, Lowry, again, shows why he was such a hot commodity coming from Toronto. He's a floor general. Man, I hate to say this, but we need a Kyle Lowry. We need a floor general. That is exactly what we need. Kyle Lowry is a floor general, man. He orchestrates an offense. And it clearly shows, man. Even without Jimmy Butler, he orchestrated the offense. So it was, you know, from a perspective of an opposing fan, it was cool to watch an offense be orchestrated like that. But Tyler Hero, shooting lights out, man. So the perimeter defense has to get better. We've got to get better. We've got to get back on the ball. We've got to defend the paint. This is just, you know, we're just not a consistently good defensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have stretches where we're pretty good, and then we'll have stretches where we have totally forgotten what we're doing. So,
definitely. No, 100, you hit the nail on the head. We just don't have stability at the point guard position. I think if we want to compete, then yeah, we're going to have to make a move for a point guard. I just don't know how they will acquire one. I know Tommy Shepard, of course, he loves Ish Smith, so I think that's a guy that Tommy Shepard would definitely try to go after. But they need some stability. I know when DeLon Wright comes back, that will certainly help. Monte Morris, he just hasn't lived up to the expectation this offseason. But we need somebody that can provide some stability and get some guys to open looks and open shots and get into the paint and penetrate. Barton was better. Gill provided some good minutes. He made a tough layup. And just quickly on Johnny Davis, he's still not looking for his own shot. He's just really passive out there. In the G League, he looked aggressive, but in the NBA games, he's just not looking to score. He has open shots, and he's just ready to pass it up. But before we do get to the comments, and then if, Brandon, you have anything to add on Johnny Davis, we do have a quick word from Brandon about Sweat Block.
Yes, sir. Before I get into the go-go guys, today's episode is brought to you by Sweat Block. Now, sweat is an issue that I have. A bigger guy who likes to work out. Sweat Block gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing sweat. Sweat Block wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. And if anybody knows about sweat, it's firefighters. So definitely check it out. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor by Sweat Block, please save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. And it's also available at Amazon.com. Again, SweatBlog. Check it out. Thank you for making Locked On Wizards your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. So getting back on the go-go guys, this is another thing I was thinking about. We've got to give more minutes to Vernon Carey and Isaiah Todd. We got to see what we got with them. You know, with Gafford struggling and with Todd, You know, what do you expect out of Taj? Now, his leadership shows, his instant offense shows, but you're only going to get so much from Taj Gibson at his age, at this point in his career. So my question for you is, do you, if you're Wes or even Tommy, do you give Vernon and Isaiah Todd some playing time and see what you got in them?
I can see Vernon just because Gaff is just not providing much. He's giving up offensive boards. You know, he's not providing much on the offensive side of the ball. He had two quick fouls. And he's, you know, not setting screens well. So he's just been really disappointing. And I think it's not all his fault. I do think some of the roster construction, he just needs a point guard to set him up and get easy baskets and manufacture baskets for him. But I can see Vernon, but Isaiah Todd. I don't know about Isaiah Todd. I think he still needs a year of development. I think he still needs a year of development to contribute. And then when Rui comes back and Brad comes back and then DeLon come back, I don't see much time for those guys, to be honest, because it will be what, a 10, 11 man rotation with Jordan Goodwin coming out there and playing. Yeah. But I think Vernon Carey, I like what Vernon Carey's done. I like what Isaiah Todd has done so far in the G League. They really need to bring up Quentin Jackson. That's the one guy I really want to see play. But we have a lot of guard. We have a lot of two guards on the roster. And Chris Dunn is a guy that I've been begging for them to play him or sign him to a contract. But yeah, I like Isaiah Todd. I think he has a lot of potential, but I just think he's a year away right now. I think he needs to get just like Gaffer needs to get in the weight room. I think Isaiah Todd needs to get stronger and get in the weight room as well. But yeah, they can try him out and play him in like right now they're playing Johnny. Like they're giving him the last 2 minutes of the first quarter, the last 2 minutes of the third or whenever he came in it was the second quarter. Or actually, I think he came in the first quarter. I got to look at when they put him in the game. But you could try Isaiah Todd and throw him in there. If Bill is out and Rui's out again and Monte's out again, then okay, let's see what I think. Maybe you can give Isaiah Todd 2 minutes at the end of the right before the end of halftime. See what he can do. See what just depending on the way the game is going. But right now, I don't see any time for those guys. Maybe Vernon Carey, just because the backup center position, we just don't have a lot of depth there right now.
Dang, no love for Todd, man. But hey, you know, I can dig it, man. You know,
no, I like Todd. Baltimore's own, man. You know, I'm rooting for him.
Yes, sir. I mean, I like his athleticism, man. I like the fact that he can shoot. You know, like you said, he's a tweener. He, you know, he's got to gain some weight. You know, especially at the four position, he's got to be able to muscle it out. But I mean, with four guys out and with Gafford not getting consistent minutes, I think you got to at least give them at least 5 minutes. See what they, you know, just give them some playing time. Yeah, I mean, you know, you might as well, because this team is in a transition, and these next couple of months are going to prove which arrow of a transition we go up or down. Because, you know, we said it time and time again, man. You know, we've got how many guys on expiring contracts? You know, Barton expiring contract. You got KP and Kuz both on player options. You know, you've got reports that, you know, look, LA's looking at Bill, and Bill, he's got the LA glitter in his eye, man. So I'm just saying, you know, these next couple of months are really going to prove where this team is going, because you could easily, you know, it's like last offseason when Tommy went and got KP. You could see another kind of under the radar, you know, move to try to bolster this team. But, you know, how many times you could put lipstick on a pig and think, you know, I mean, come on, you know, we are where we are at this point. And, you know, it's really tough to predict, man, because this team's got to make a lot of choices. You know, we're 10 and 8 right now, and we have injuries, and you know, it goes on. We're 10 and 10 and 10 and 15 and 10 and 20. You know, we might start making moves. And you know, I don't think it will be that bad. Well, you know, I'm trying to be an optimist, man. You know, because I still think this is a really good team. This is still a winnable game. And even when we play like crap, these are still winnable games. So there is still some optimism. Now, I know a lot of fans, man, especially on Twitter, letting this team have it, man. Letting the team have it. So, but there is optimism. You know, Goodwin, underwhelming, but you got to love his energy. I mean, he has an energy that he really has more energy than anybody on the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just a spark plug, man. So I'm still optimistic, man. I think this is still a really good team, but we got to figure out a direction, because again, another player, Rui, you know, he's going into a restricted free agency. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. And if you're trying to get Kuz and KP to stay in DC long-term, they've got to make a consolidation trade. And that's just, I'm telling you, they've got to make a move, because there's too many guys at the same position. It's too much of an influx. And, you know, when these guys come back, depth is going to be an issue. People are going to be fighting for minutes, and there's going to be some issues. So we've got to make a move.
Yeah, it was similar to last year, where it was just too many guys, the rotation, and they started showcasing guys right before the trade deadline. I don't see any chemistry issues going on with this team, because it's just different personalities than what they had last year. But yeah, I definitely see what you're saying, where it's just too many cooks in the kitchen, too many guys, you know, only one ball to go around, not a lot of minutes to go around, a lot of guys at the same position, contract years. Guys trying to get paid. So I definitely understand that too. But I do think DeLon Wright, they say that he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks from now. So that's a good amount of games for him to still miss. And like you said, I don't think they'll be 10 and 20 or anything like that, but they are going to miss him. I think Jordan Goodwin has stepped up. He's played well. He didn't have his best game tonight, but I thought he contributed. Will Barton had a way better game. This is Will Barton's best game by far. because he's really been struggling. He hasn't been shooting the ball well at all. There was one stat that I found on Will Barton, how bad he's been shooting the basketball. I'm pulling up right now. Just give me a second. I can find. Oh yeah. Lowest field goal percentage among players with 50 plus field goal attempts in November. The worst is Reggie Bullock with 25%, Tim Hardaway Jr. 30%. Will Barton is third worst, shooting 32.9%. Out of 220 players, he's 218th out of 220. That's how bad Will Barton has been shooting the ball so far this season. So that he shot the ball way better this year. 13 points, 7 assists, 7 boards. He contributed. And he had a nice steal too. Corey Kispert, him guarding Tyler Hero was just a tough matchup. Tyler Hero, he got the best of him towards the end of the game. But yeah, guys like Gaff, Will Barton, you know, we'll see what happens before the trade. They just got to get a point guard in here, somebody that can handle the ball. But yeah, we'll get to comments here. And like you said, with the direction, their goal is to make the playoffs, make the play-in or the playoffs. Like Ted said, they'll never ever tank. So that's the only direction they're going to go. So they got to do what they can to win. I think this team, they're still somewhat of a – I think we know who they are, but you look at the games that they have won, a lot of guys have been out. And there's been guys that have been out on our side too. Like, we keep getting these fortunate breaks with Jimmy Butler being out, and we played the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. We played the Mavericks without Christian Wood. We played a lot of teams where guys have been out. The Bulls without Zach LaVine, the Pacers without Miles Turner. So it's just been so many games where guys have been out. And then, like I said, Johnny Davis just looked a little – he looked a little shell-shocked. But he did have 2 blocks.
Well, I think the injuries has been a league-wide thing. You see a lot of teams are missing their stars. You know, if you look at Philly, they were without Embiid.
Yeah.
You know, and James Harden. I mean, there's a lot of injuries going around in this league. So, you know, everybody's kind of fighting the injury bug. And I get that. You know, Bill being out, we felt that. Monte, I don't know how much we felt that, but we did. And Rui. You know, Rui's played solid this year. So, and of course, DeLon Wright. So these are key guys that are out. So, you know, with these 4 guys being out and still being in the position to win the game, that's why I still have optimism for this team, because Kuz and KP have shown that they can take that leadership role. And, you know, so I don't think it's time to panic yet. I really don't. I think we can readjust. I think if Wes is willing to readjust, we can get that dub Friday night. Because, like I said, we already know where we're going to get it from this team. So,
Right. Pink Difference says first half rebound problem, no box out, no cooperation, and offense, Kuz and KP with the bad shooting. Like, yeah, they got out tough. They got bullied at times. I think Gafford was a part of the problem. I'm not blaming it at all on Gaff, but there was a stretch where he struggled in the first half where Bam Adebayo kept getting offensive rebounds and Caleb Martin was getting offensive rebounds. Miriam says, happy holidays, guys. Any way to share the post-game press conference when it starts? If it didn't finish, lead pass only shows the game in Israel. I'm not sure. I think if you're talking about the Wizards post game press conference, I think they showed on the Wizards YouTube channel or on the Wizards Twitter. I'm not 100% sure, but I know they post like a recap on there.
Yeah, I believe they show a recap on the YouTube channel for the Washington Wizards.
Definitely. And happy holidays to you too, Mirums. Definitely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Kevin says, is it me or does it seem like KP and Denny play timid? KP doesn't play like a big man, and Denny plays with butterfingers and soft. He also says Todd should have played longer. What are your thoughts, Brandon?
I don't want to call Denny soft because I don't think he's soft. I think it's just he's a young player that doesn't know when to make that switch, to turn that switch on. But he's shown that he has aggression, that he can have that dog in him. He showed it in the past. So I don't think he's a soft player. I just think that he's still trying to figure out who he is as a player, whether he wants to be a distributor, he wants to be a scorer. You know, once he figures out his role, I think he's going to go full steam ahead and he's going to do his thing. So, I think Denny's he's all right. You know, obviously he needs to work on the shot, but I don't think it's a timid thing. Now, you know, tonight, you know, the lack of aggression show. You know, he should have drove the paint. You know, he kept passing the ball out, you know. So he's got to drive the paint. But, I don't think KP and Denny are – timid or soft. Now I think KP, you know, just like Gaff, these bigger bigs can't push him around. Tonight Bam pushed him around. Bam did whatever he wanted to paint. So I don't think it's so much soft as that they're finesse guys. So, you know, they go against these guys that, man, they like to eat, man. Look, they're gonna eat. So, you know, Bam, he was rocking. So, you know, I think that's what the issue is. They got to add some weight going into the offseason. But I think once they figure out what the roles are and they gain that weight, I think they're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Denny, he's very finesse. He's starting to figure out how to finish around the rim. He's starting to pump fake more and gather himself, where he really struggled with that last year. He did get a shot blocked twice tonight. And for some reason, he just thought a little too much. I think he's just thinking too much. And he was really in playmaking mode. He was looking to pass and get assists. I think he had 10 assists. He almost had a triple-double. But he's just got to be more aggressive. He's got to go up stronger. He's got to use his body. He has to finish through contact and learn how to use his body against a defender. I think that's something that he struggles with for sure. So I wouldn't call him soft. I think like you said, Brandon, I think he's very, very finesse. And he's still learning how to finish through contact. So he really has to improve. And there's a lot of times where he should just dunk the ball. I think he's athletic enough to dunk. I know his athleticism off of a standing jump is not – he's not an explosive leaper. It kind of does take him a little bit of time to gather up and get up. Like Gafford is super explosive. Like when he goes up, he just gets off the ground. Rui is the same way. Rui can get off the ground pretty quick, where Denny, it just takes a little bit more time for him, but he's very finesse. KP is finesse too. He's a 7'3" guy that shoots threes and jumpers. That's the main part of his game. He's not going to bully anybody. He's not going to back. Like if you think he's going to play like Shaq or Dwight Howard with the Magic, like you're just not getting that guy. He doesn't have that body frame either, or that body type. He's really lean, and I think he does settle for threes a little too much at times, where he should try to, you know, go down the post and dominate. So I get what Kevin is saying, but I wouldn't call him the S word. I wouldn't call him Saul. I wouldn't take it that far. They're just very, very finesse.
And I think that's why going into the season, we always wanted them to push the pace. You know, we always say push the pace, because we have a lot of guys who are finesse. They can run. And I think that is a big reason. I think it's not the sole reason. It's like tonight is not on Gaff. You know, Gaff had his shortcomings, but the loss is not on him. It's just not. And I think that if you look at the keys to the season, the pace of play is one of the biggest issues we have. We're just not pushing the ball down the court fast enough. You know, like you said, KP's not a guy who's going to sit in the paint and out muscle nobody. He's that guy who, you know, he's had a 3-point shot and he can drive, but you know, we've got to figure out our identity.
Yeah, definitely.
This is from Garo. They desperately need a point guard to set up teammates, set the pace, and much more. Much of the wrinkles in the game revolve around not having that floor general. I totally agree. You know, going to this trade deadline, we need a point guard. We need a true point guard who can distribute and be a floor general. Like, you know, we said it tonight. We had a firsthand account of what a floor general is. That's Kyle Lowry. I mean, he's just a floor general. And a 3-and-D wing. We need a true 3-and-D. You know, an example would be like a Michael Bridges in Phoenix. You know, a guy who you're not really depending on him to score 10 to 15, but if you get it, it's a blessing. But a guy who shut down and really hit a consistent 3-point shot. You know, and that's the one big thing that keeps Denny from being a true 3-and-D is he's missing that 3-part. That's what we need, a 3-and-D wing. So,
right. Yeah, he's starting to shoot better from the 3-point, so he's really improving. Last year, he definitely struggled from the 3, so he's getting better. And he's still hesitating on shooting 3s, too. He's still thinking too much and passing up shots. So, but, yeah, we'll wrap it up here. It's Thanksgiving, guys. It's Thanksgiving Eve. There's a lot of comments that are still there. We'll probably answer them on the next episode. We'll try to get to them, but there's so many. We just want to thank you guys. We're thankful for you guys tuning in and watching every single day. Locked On Wizards, sir. Every day and night. We appreciate you guys. The show is just, it's nothing without you guys. So once again, we're just super, 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 super thankful. We hope you guys have a good Thanksgiving, eat really good, and are safe out there. We'll see you guys again either Friday night or Sunday night when they play against the Celtics. And we just want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe to Locked On Wizards. We'll be thankful for that as well. We're almost at 3,000 subscribers, and leave a 5-star review on the podcast as well. We'll be thankful for that as well. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Hail to the Wizards. Peace.